Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. I just saw, I just retweeted about 15 minutes ago, Randall Cobb signing his contract down in Dallas. So not the easiest thing to see. I'd said this yesterday. It's disappointing. I think it's just more of a little bit of a deflating day if you're a Packers fan to see some of your fan favorites kind of go by the wayside. But as we talked about yesterday also, hey, if you're not getting better, then you're staying stagnant, and that's not being a good team, so to speak. So the Packers have got some holes to fill. They're going to lead on the draft. I don't expect anybody else, maybe a waiver claim signing or something like that, guys that get cut during some of the roster cuts. But beyond that, I think this is the team we're going to run with.
Yeah, and I think this happened, obviously, last year with Jordy Nelson. And I think for the Packers to not re-sign, well, in the case of last year, Jordy Nelson, to cut him, and then a year later to not re-sign Randall Cobb or Clay Matthews, I think is very, very interesting. And, you know, how quickly things change and how Brian Gutekunst comes and takes over this team. And, you know, in terms of feel-good stories and, oh, you know, like, these are the Packers and these are the guys that you think of when you think of the Packers. He's not having any of that sentimental stuff. You know, he's not going to, he'll cut Jordy Nelson, you know, to hell with the way you feel about it. You know, I think that's a really interesting thing to see. And then a year later, he doesn't, you know, they talked with Clay Matthews' agent. Obviously, the price got, in my opinion, out of hand. As we talked about, I can't believe Matthews got that much money from the Rams. I think Cobb's contract, though, was pretty reasonable. But I think when you see the post, and I'm not sure if you did, if you saw what Aaron Rodgers posted, what David Bakhtiari posted, it's a business, and players know that. And Aaron Rodgers was very, very clear about that in one of his post-game comments. This year, where, you know, what was this quote from that one movie? I keep getting older; they keep staying the same age. That's what happens every offseason. And I think players, certainly like Rodgers, who's been doing this now for this is going to be his 15th NFL season. He gets it. David Bakhtiari has only been in the league for 6 years now, but he gets it. But at the same time, you see the way that these guys post about their teammates leaving, and I think it's. You know, again, they get it, and it's a business, and you're not going to sign it. You know, give a guy $5 million just because he's friends with your quarterback. If you really one of the more fascinating things about social media is when these guys actually go back and forth with each other. So the way that these things unravel is it's like when Rodgers did that post the other day about saying how he already misses his friend in reference to Randall Cobb, I don't know if you saw this on Instagram, Bill, but then – Cobb said something back of like, you know, I'm going to really miss traveling the world with you and Danica. And then Danica Patrick comments back and says, we have our whole lives to do that. And so you can be a fly on the wall of these conversations that aren't just between teammates, or in this case, now former teammates, but between like where the wives and the girlfriends have come into play and how, it's more than just, teammate stuff. So again, you don't give Randall Cobb $5 million because he's friends with your quarterback and because he's going to miss, those partnerships and those travels and everything else, because they can still be friends. you can be friends with people you don't work with. It's not like an earth-shattering thought process. But I do think it's an interesting glimpse into the way that Brian Gutekunst is going to run this team. There is no sentimental value. There's no Rodgers really wants him to be re-signed, because how many times throughout the years, even with Ted Thompson, did Rodgers say, I really want us to bring back Charles Woodson. We have to re-sign James Jones. We got to do this. You can't cut Jordy Nelson. And the number of times he's mentioned something about a player publicly, I don't remember it once ever resulting in that player being brought back or re-signed or, not let go or whatever the case might be. So, yeah, they'll give Rodgers all the money in the world, and they'll make him happy from that perspective. But if they're going to cut Jordy Nelson, if they're going to let Cobb walk, if they're going to let Clay Matthews walk, you know, to heck with the way that, you know, you feel about it emotionally, that's the business decision he made. And I think it's a very interesting way to watch Gutekunst make this team in his own image.
No, that I agree with. And look, there's a lot of people still can't believe for the amount of money that Clay Matthews signed for.
Yeah.
I still am a little bit flabbergasted by how much money they gave Clay. And we were talking between 3 and 5, maybe bringing him back, and they paid him, you know, 8.5, 9. And I'm still stunned by that. So look, I understand the business side of it in that realm. Randall Cobb, 1 year, $5 million. He's got to prove a deal. He's got to be able to say to the Cowboys and the rest of the league, you know, hey, I got something to give, but. I just never saw him fitting in here as a slot receiver, and that's what he was, other than a comeback guy to Aaron Rodgers. Geronimo Allison can fill that bill. Hell, you've got Equanimeous St. Brown, who I think is more suited to be a slot receiver than really anybody on this team right now. They've got guys to fill that. So that's why I thought the more likely candidate to come back would have been Clay Matthews, but not for the money he signed for. There's no way I'm bringing him back.
Right, not at that money. Yeah, I mean, to your next point about Cobb and the slot and everything, and I think that's what, I mean, the Packers, there was a very clear draft strategy last year when they selected 3 wide receivers, you know, with Jamon Moore and Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown. They drafted big, athletic dudes, you know, pretty much the complete contrast in size and stature to Randall Cobb, you know, who is more of your traditional, smaller, quick laterally slot receiver. And I think that is where, like, you know, when you say something like, well, you know, I think Equanimeous St. Brown, Bill, you just said, you know, you could see him being more of a slot receiver. In traditional NFL sense, like, that sounds kind of crazy, right? Because of how big he is. But I think that's where the NFL is moving towards, is like, you can have your Randall Cobbs and your Tavon Austins and your Cole Beasleys and guys like this, but they have a more specialized role in the grand scheme of route running and in the grand scheme of offensive usage, because you can really only use them in one spot. Whereas, you know, if there was a case to be made for the Packers to not let Jordy Nelson go a year ago, or to even maybe bring him back this year, it's that Nelson in his last year in Green Bay was really effective out of the slot. Now he's, what, 6'3", as opposed to Cobb at 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean just because you're a bigger, taller, stronger guy that you can't play the slot, especially in today's NFL, because what's the point? You want to create mismatches. Mismatches can be with speed, because, you know, you put Cobb on a traditional inside linebacker, especially in Cobb's prime, and he's going to be way too fast for him. But you can also create mismatches with size. And I think one of the things we found out about the type of, you know, front office GM that Gutekunst is, we found out last year during the draft, is he wants big, athletic, just like mismatch creating wide receivers in terms of their size. To draft 3 of them, clearly he didn't think all 3 of them would be, you know, outside wide receivers. So he must have thought, well, one of these guys could eventually learn to play the slot well. And so, again, I think I think we learn more and more. Every draft, every free agency will continue to learn more about the way Gutekunst and his front office staff looks at this, because he has a very different, I mean, it's only been a couple off seasons, really an off season and a half of having Gutekunst at GM. And I think we're already finding out how much differently he views roster building than what Ted Thompson did.
Who's been clearly, you know, going back to free agency, and everybody wants to rate everything. Who's been kind of the winner in free agency this off season? Because I know the Packers, for what they've done, I mean, if you listen to people in Chicago, they're saying, well, they got the most out of their safety position. They got the most out of their corner position. They got the most out of their pass rushers. You know, they're happy with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Andre Damos? I think he's an upgrade back there for what the Packers needed to do. So I'm kind of thinking to myself, who won this offseason besides the Cleveland Browns?
I was going to say, if you're going to exclude the Browns, who are constantly making
the Raiders
making moves and making noise. No, I mean,
you know, they signed crazy.
Vontaze Burfict on top of Antonio Brown.
Right?
John Gruden is a dominating personality, which is both for better and for worse. But, you know, I think people believe he can keep guys in line because he himself is such a character. You know, Bill, I would say that any team that signs Clinton Dix did not win the offseason, so that's not
right.
Fair. I think the Vikings, having been able to retain Anthony Barr when it seemed like he was going to be a New York Jet, I think is a really big deal for the Vikings, which is obviously unfortunate for the Packers and unfortunate for Rodgers because, of course, Barr is, you know, infamous for his hit on Rodgers that broke the collarbone in 2017. The Baltimore Ravens had an interesting offseason. Obviously, they shed some guys that you think of as being Ravens, including, of course, their quarterback. But then they go and do Earl Thomas, and they do Mark Ingram. I think that's interesting. I don't know how you can look at the money that the Jets gave to Le'Veon Bell, which really wasn't that much money. I mean, the Packers gave more money to Za'Darius Smith than what Le'Veon Bell got with the Jets. So I think, you know, I'm curious to see how that works out if you tag team him with Sam Darnold. Any obvious winners, though, Bill? I mean, the Saints for retaining Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is a really big deal in the long scope of replacing Drew Brees. I think that's really interesting. Man, who else comes to mind for you in terms of like big moves that you thought?
The only team that I think won clearly was Cleveland.
I agree.
That's the one team I think got extremely better. I think Minnesota didn't lose a ton, and like I agree with you, keeping Anthony Barr was probably the best thing they could have done to keep that defense intact. I like what the Packers did in filling holes with veterans, guys that have been there, done that, versus relying on guys that haven't. So while the moves aren't big, I think at least the experience is going to benefit that team and for what Mike Pettine can do. It's either going to be an all-in and things are really going to begin to take off with the attitude out in Oakland, or that is going to become a complete ego-driven train wreck. And that thing's going to just drive itself off the ground and right into the ditch, and it's going to sink slowly into the abyss. One of the two. So,
and the Raiders do come to Lambeau this year, if I recall correctly.
I know.
And I mean, the schedule's not out. We don't know when, but I know that they are one of the home opponents for the Packers. So, depending on if that's late in the year or early in the year, we get to see how much of that sideshow if it's working or if it's not working. And I think if it's anything like the Raiders' 2018 season, which clearly didn't work, it'll be fascinating to see if that, like you said, if that, you know, goes down in great infamy of a terrible John Gruden run, or if somehow he can corral all of that personality down there.
Always good, Paul. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, pal.
Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.